The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
Change our home life. Change the way we educate our children.
It is the presence of God. He promised to leave. I will not leave you orphans.
Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross, Catholic Radio Network. I'm Elijah Simon, and I thank you for joining us as we are plugging into the power of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. Joining me today as our guest is Father Mike Mayer, who is currently serving as the parochial vicar at Our Lady of Peace Church in Geneva. He started the Rochester, New York chapter of St. Paul Street Evangelization and is the founder of the Margaret Home, a long-term residential program for single pregnant women. Father, would you please start us off with a prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, we ask you to help us grow in trust in your protecting love and your strengthening power. Help us always to be bold and courageous in claiming the gifts that you give us so that we may joyfully proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And to all of our listeners who are tuning in from New York, the New England area, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Southern Ontario, and all around the world on our iCatholic Radio mobile app, I thank you for joining us as we are heading into this episode of The Catholic Current. We are honored that you are choosing to spend your time here with us. To begin, I have a simple question. Do we have to work for our salvation? Do we have to work for our salvation? When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they didn't know disease or lack of understanding or death or fear. Adam didn't feel soreness in his muscles after a hard day's work, and Eve didn't have to spend weeks of recovery after giving birth, had she given birth, while in the Garden of Eden. Their bodies weren't meant for death or for decay, but for life. There was no need for death because the soul was already united to the body. But in breaking the trust of God, the giver of life, they separated themselves from life, and life was tainted, and all that goes with it tainted as well. The soul, now separated from the body, longs to be rejoined to it, but the communication between them has been jumbled and is now distant, and to most people, probably unintelligible at times. And just as the soul yearns for the body aches for the soul. Sometimes it's a literal ache in our muscles and our bones. To be reunited with the everlasting gift God imparted on all of us, the gift of eternal life. And so our time on earth is not one of perfection, as maybe it was in the Garden of Eden. It's one of redemption and one of purification. And so, Father Mike, it would seem, not to put too fine a point on it, but it would seem that we have our work cut out for us.
Amen. That's for sure. And certainly it does go back to Adam and Eve, and I would say the human condition. And as the Catechism describes it, the notion of original sin is really the opposite of the good news of salvation. That is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So maybe rather than starting with original sin, we have to start with the Paschal Mystery, which is the center of our faith. So we can ask, well, what happened and why did it happen? And of course, we know from Jesus' preaching, and his first preaching was about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So it wasn't, you're all great people, I like you a lot, but rather there is sin, there is evil that you are doing, therefore repent. So if we look at the Paschal Mystery, the purpose of Jesus' death and resurrection was to do something that we could not do, that is to undo the sin of Adam and Eve. And of course, where does Jesus start that process? And we read about it on Good Friday and Passion Sunday in a garden. He's the agony in the garden. Well, we have Eden, the original garden, and here Jesus is starting his passion in the garden at Gethsemane. And then, of course, he goes on from there to bring about salvation. So right away, Jesus did what he had to do to save us, which means there was something that we had to be saved from. What was it? Well, it's sin, giving us that opportunity through his saving death and resurrection to be able to say no to sin and yes to God. So we have the sort of reversal from the fall in what Jesus does through his death and resurrection. So, and it's a question of, as one person, I think it was Dr. Scott Hahn put it this way, we could not pay the debt we owed, but Jesus paid the debt which he didn't owe. So only Jesus, only God himself could actually undo what we human beings, because the human condition is one of concupiscence, of a tendency to evil. So only Jesus would come and destroy the power of sin and death in our lives. And that's what he does through his death and resurrection, so that we can be reunited or reconciled to God. And again, it's not something we ever could have earned, simply not, because what Jesus did, who was both God and man, we don't have that capability. But if we want to accept that gift of salvation, and that's where the work comes in of all different kinds, not just, let's say, daily work and doing it as a way of accepting the gift, the power, the possibility of doing what is good so that we can continue to proclaim the gospel. But it's also obedience to the will of the Father. And that's what Jesus says. You need to, just as he is faithful to the will of his Father, so we must be faithful to the will of the Father. And to be faithful doesn't simply mean to think it out, but rather to live it out. So as James says a number of times, he talks about faith and works. They go together. It's not just one or the other. But if I truly have faith, then I'm going to be obedient. Because, again, Jesus, in John's gospel, he says, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Well, that means literally giving our entire lives in service to our neighbor as a way of saying to Christ, thank you so much for this gift of salvation. This is how I want to not pay it back, but to recognize it as a gift and to accept it. And therefore, I will be obedient. So the obedience in this sense is not a nasty term, which, you know, can be in our society, but rather that's what Jesus was when it came to the will of his Father. He was obedient. Son though he was, he learned the growth in himself by being obedient, showing us the way, by being the model of an obedient child. And so we too, by accepting the gift of salvation and being obedient children, we too then inherit the kingdom. So it's really all God's work. Even our ability to work is God's doing, because he gives us the skills, he gives us our bodies, he maintains us in being. So, and our good intentions, there again, those are inspirations from the Lord. So God's really doing the hard work. Really, all we have to do to be truly free is to keep following the law of God. Love God, love our neighbor as ourselves, give our lives in service to the kingdom, to our brothers and sisters, because we're all part of a community. I'm not saved alone, but I'm saved in this community of people who are always, at least in this life, on the journey, working out, so to speak, as Paul talks about it, working out our salvation.
If you're just joining us, this is The Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. We are talking about the role of toil or work in our salvation and in our spiritual life. And Father, basically, I feel like some of our listeners might be thinking, and maybe it's me who's just thinking this, but I'm sure some of our listeners are too, that it seems kind of petty or maybe even sadistic for the Almighty Creator of the world to thrust these punishments on all of humanity for all time because of the mistake of two people in a garden, right? I mean, Adam and Eve had it perfect, right? And they make this mistake, and now all of humanity has to suffer because of this. Like, and in fact, one might even say that even if it wasn't all of humanity, even if it was just having these punishments placed on anyone, it seems like that's not very merciful of God. So is this God sort of getting back at humanity for having the nerve to disobey him? He's the all-powerful God, you know? Or is there something else going on here?
Well, if God wanted to punish us, he wouldn't have become a human being, suffered and died for us. So he would have left it at Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden, and that's it, curtains. But he didn't. And we also have to understand, and this is very clear in our Catholic faith, that from, I can't say the beginning, but from all eternity, God had in mind the sending of his Son to be our Redeemer. In fact, the Exultet, which is the ancient hymn that we sing at the Easter Vigil, talks about, oh, happy fault of Adam. Oh, happy fault of Adam. So yeah, what it's saying is, Adam, we're glad you sinned. Why? Because it brought about the sending of the Savior, who is the center of creation. And again, we read it in Scripture, we pray it, we say that everything was created for him. This is Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Everything was created through him. So from all eternity, God's plan was how, and of course, God knew exactly what was going to happen, and he knew what he would do. And so he did come to save us. So what happens to us in this life is it's just part and parcel with us being creatures. Again, Dr. Scott Hahn talks about when it comes to the rate of mortality, we can say it's 100%. Yeah, we're all going to die. But we also know the rate of immortality. That's 100% as well. But we don't know in terms of that immortality where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing. I mean, some will be saved, that is, go to heaven. Others will be condemned for eternity to hell. But God, as I say, from all eternity, desired this to happen, that is, Jesus coming as a Savior. Now, he's the linchpin in it all, so that if we look at the suffering that we go through now, we can put it into context. Number one, it's temporary. As, again, another minister said, we were put here to get out of here. In other words, we're created, but our true homeland, and Paul says this, is heaven. We are citizens of heaven. So when we talk about, again, that the suffering and the toil, and just that word toil, we could use the word work, but toil has that negative connotation. For us who see Jesus Christ in our midst, who know that he is Lord and Savior, even the worst suffering can be seen as, okay, that's the way it is. But God has given us the pledge of salvation if we are but faithful to him. So God is not like human beings who seek revenge and punishment per se, but he certainly does test us, allow us to be tested and to be formed. And it really comes through suffering. I think on the last show last week on Wednesday, talking about mental illness, one of the ways in which we learn compassion, which is certainly a key virtue of God, deep, deep compassion, is by going through suffering, by going through temptations, by going through things that are very difficult in our lives. But we know that even suffering can be seen as a gift for the faithful person, and that they can use that by faithfully accepting it on their own behalf and on the behalf of other people. So really, Jesus, again, we can't talk about suffering, we can't talk about salvation, about earning or working for salvation, without recognizing that it is through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that everything becomes clearer. Not that it becomes necessarily easy, but that we can see the clarity of God's plan from all eternity through Jesus Christ. And if we keep on being obedient and faithful to God's revelation, we can even say with St. Catherine of Siena that all the way to heaven is heaven. So, you know, she saw that even in her suffering, and she suffered, she was physically frail, but still she saw the gift, the free gift of salvation, and she grasped it. She thanked God for it. She formed her life around that gift. And when we talk about gift, it's really the gift of the Savior. It is Jesus Christ. So if we want to look at work, we want to look at salvation, earning, working, obedience, we have to look at Jesus, because he is the reason why the sin of Adam and Eve was turned around, so that it doesn't have power over us anymore. And not only that, but he empowers us to be faithful, so that one day we can not earn salvation, but accept the gift of salvation, because as in Matthew 25, the last judgment, Jesus says, okay, you've done a wonderful job. Come and enter into my joy. And that's hopefully what we want, we desire in our lives. And to desire, that means that we're going to do what we need to do to say yes to God, to be obedient, so that we can receive that gift of eternal life.
If you're following along with us at home with our conversation, you can do so in a more immersive way by visiting the Catholic Current show page for each show each day. You'll find links to the sources that we reference and a summary of the topic. You can also even listen live from the website while we are talking here. You just have to go to thestationofthecross.com and click on Show Details, which is under the Catholic Current. You get there by clicking on the Programs tab. That's thestationofthecross.com. And Father, I guess you were talking a little bit about suffering. You were talking about how we can gain compassion through suffering. So I guess, would it be correct to say that God doesn't bring these punishments down on us as much as the gift of free will is kind of a perilous one? We were talking about, oh, is God being sadistic, or is he trying to punish us? No. You know, you said he could have not kept Jesus from us if he wanted to, but he sent Jesus. So is this more having to do with the concept of free will? That is to say that because we have two choices, to follow him or not to follow him, there's just naturally going to be two results from that, one way and one the other way. Mm-hmm. And that God didn't really create these terrible things for us to endure because we messed up, but it's that we separate ourselves from life towards death when we sin. Is that kind of where we're going here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It really, free will is truly free. I mean, I don't think we realize just how free we truly are, that we can make eternal decisions, and God will respect that. You know, that's the other part of it, too. It's not, in one sense, is God judging us at the end of time, or is he showing us, these were your choices, and therefore I honor and respect them, and therefore this is what you want, that's what you'll get. So it's God in our corner at all times, and we keep messing things up. And you look at the world today, and you know, this may be 50 years ago it seemed a gentler place, but to look at wars, to look at the evil of the world, to look at abortion, euthanasia, doctor-assisted suicide, things that really run counter to God's desire for the flourishing of life. We're doing it. We human beings are doing it. Now, yes, there are certain things out of our control. For example, if a volcano explodes, you know, it's not my good or bad deeds that make it explode. That's just part of the natural creation. But as a human being made in the image and likeness of God, I share with God that really radical freedom to say yes eternally or no eternally. And so, and the things that come to us, depending on what our, let's say, orientation is, they're either going to seem, that's okay, you know, this is part of my life here and now, and with God's help, I will move through it. Or how dare anybody do this to me, and I'm not going to accept it, and I'm not going to be obedient. I want my will to be done. And that's the age-old story, really, of humankind. It begins with Adam and Eve doing it, but because we are part of their community, which continued right down to today, why should we think we would be any different, that we could still be tempted, that we could still give in to evil? So God, through his death and resurrection, doesn't take away the freedom, but really, if we are faith-filled and we see and we keep reminding ourselves of the story of salvation, God really makes it easy within a community, a living community of faith-filled believers, not necessarily to like what's going on, but to make the right choices, to say, yes, Lord, I accept this, I will do this, I will obey you, and to encourage other people to do the same. So it's again, we have to look at it as not just me as an individual, but me as part of a larger human community, but also as a Catholic, as part of the church community, which has been given all these wonderful gifts, we call them sacraments, so that we can not only maneuver through our creaturely life, but really thrive and flourish and be obedient as Jesus was obedient.
We have our work cut out for us in this life and also in the show today. We had some very interesting points made by our listeners in the morning survey today, so stay right here. We're going to get to some of those right after the break. I'm Elijah Simon, here with Father Mike Mayer. This is The Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross, Catholic Radio Network.
Tune in weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern for Sermons for Everyday Living, a program that brings you real sermons from real priests on topics important to you and your faith. Visit thestationofthecross.com for details.
This is Rick Paolini, business manager for the Station of the Cross. As an Apostle Club supporter, your gift of $1,260 or $105 per month will underwrite a whole day of Catholic programming, giving you the opportunity to have your intentions or business mentioned throughout the day on the air. You'll also receive a 6-CD set on a variety of faith topics to help you and those you love grow closer to our Lord through listening. To donate, call 1-877-711-8500 or go to thestationofthecross.com. You can also donate by using the return envelope from one of our mailings. Thank you, and may God bless you.
As iCatholic Radio celebrates its 8-year anniversary today, here at the Station of the Cross, we'd like to thank you for all of your prayers and financial support. Over the past 8 years, you've listened in the United States.
This is Juan Carlos from Oxnard, California.
This is Marianne from Nashville, Tennessee.
This is Gonzalo from Stuart, Florida.
And around the world.
This is Jerry from Dublin, Ireland.
This is Susie from Melbourne, Australia.
This is Mishka from Hong Kong, China.
We look forward to serving you and the rest of our world by the grace of God for many more years to come. May God bless you and your family in this new year of proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity through iCatholic Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross, Catholic Radio Network. I'm Elijah Simon, here with Father Mike Mayer. Thanks for staying with us. Each morning, The Catholic Current sends out a survey on the topic for the show later that evening, where you can share your thoughts and any questions you might have. It's a great way to participate in the show, and we each day will take a couple of responses from the survey to add to the discussion. So make sure you sign up to receive the survey with the daily email at thestationofthecross.com. You can do that right at the top of the page on thestationofthecross.com. Father, we are going to go to some of those listener comments, but before we do, I just wanted to talk a little bit about work in general. I know that we were talking about work in regard to the faith and to salvation a little bit before the break, but work nowadays, it seems, by most people, is viewed as primarily negative, although I think most of us can agree that we can appreciate the positives of a good day of hard work. It seems that the concept of work is looked at as an inherent positive in Scripture, which is a little bit different from the natural flow of things. Not, I don't think everybody loves to get up and go to work in the morning. So, for instance, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13, it reads, "Moreover, that all can eat and drink and enjoy the good of all their toil, this is a gift of God." So, Father, what does this mean for us spiritually? As I said just now, most people can relate to the good feelings that come from a hard day's work, worth of work, you know? But what does it mean in terms of our salvation? Does work here on earth, in this life, have eternal consequences for us?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, because what we're trying to do is model our work ethic, so to speak, after God's work ethic. So if you think about it, and this is up in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, God created the world. Okay, so we look upon that as sort of his big work. And within that creation, he created humankind. We are the flower of his work, his effort, so to speak, even though for God it's effortless and it just flows from his being. But if we look also at the community of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, they continue to, and I put this in quotes, work on our behalf by blessing us, by giving us graces through the sacraments, so that we in turn can model our lives after what God is doing. Of course, God always creates good work or good things from his work. And that, I think that's the key. In work, whatever work it is, you know, whether I, for example, collect the garbage or I'm on Wall Street, I always have to ask myself, how is this work furthering the desire of God that all people come to know, love, and serve him and be with him in eternity? So, you know, it has eternal consequences in that sense. So just as I can use work not only to help me, my immediate family, because I need the money so that I can pay for food and shelter, so forth and so on. But in the larger context, and as I said before, we're part of a community. I'm not independent of everybody else in the world. I'm part of the family of people throughout the world. Therefore, is my work, what I do for a living, or even what I do in my hobbies, what I do creatively, is it benefiting other people in some way? It doesn't mean it have to have a direct benefit, but is it helping me to grow in my faith in God? And by extension, is it helping other people? Or am I looking at what, let's say, I earn through my work as my right? I deserve it, and I can do what I want with it. I can be selfish with it. Well, that's not taking work in the way God wants us to take work. It's rather, it's all about me, as opposed to number one, it's a gift from God, my ability to work, the fact that I can do it. And that number two, God expects us to be generous with the fruits of our labor, that it's not just for me, but it is to give thanks to God by using the fruits of my work, again, to further the kingdom of God, to build it up, to extend the reign of God to other people, to let other people know that there is a loving God. So really what I'm doing, as I said before, I'm modeling my life after God's life. So he created all that was good. God saw it and said, this is good. That's creation. And he continues that today by sustaining us and giving us the abilities, the powers, the skills, so that we can work. We, in turn, can then say, okay, I'm going to use what I do for a living and in my spare time in thanksgiving as a way of showing God that I am grateful, and that also that I'm going to use the fruits of my work for other people, not for myself alone, not simply to be selfish and say, this is my the things that I have earned, I don't have to share it. Well, that's not the Christian way. So we can look at work in different ways. And again, that's where free will comes in. I can either say, yes, this is all a gift from God ultimately, and I want to be accountable and grateful, and therefore I am going to perhaps choose work carefully, and we all should do that, so that we're not participating in work that may have at its basis evil of some way, you know, a scam or whatever, cheating people. But rather, I'm always going to make sure that the work I do in the eyes of God is good work, is objectively okay, so that I can actually use that work, and God helps me to, in a sense, sanctify it, so that it does reflect the goodness and love of God, because I'm doing what God has done for me. I'm using my powers, which have been given to me, not only for my upbuilding, but for the upbuilding of the community of my brothers and sisters.
So, Father, Linda in New Hampshire is one of the people who responded to our survey today. And she cites a couple of verses of Scripture, which they're found in Genesis. It's actually Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and verses 17, which is right after Adam and Eve have committed the first sin, and God is talking to them about how they will be punished because of these sins. And to the woman, God says, I will intensify your toil in childbearing. And to the man, He says, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread, and no longer is it going to be easy for you to toil. So Linda kind of puts forth a counterpoint to what you were just saying, Father. She says, how is this work related to our spiritual life other than as just a punishment?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And again, I would say it depends on our faith. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that he has shown us the way? So when we look at Genesis, when that was written, they didn't know Jesus Christ. He hadn't yet come into the world as a child in Bethlehem. So yeah, to look at it in that sense, yeah, it is. It's all it's a chase after the wind, as we hear in the Scripture, a beautiful way of putting it. It's an emptiness. It really doesn't have any meaning. But if we look at Jesus Christ, even suffering can take on, suffering, whether it's in childbirth or an illness, whatever, can take on a more, it doesn't confine us. We can see beyond it. We can see that it's only part of our creaturely life. And even that, we can look at, in fact, someone's put it this way, I think it was on EWTN. He was talking about being at the side of his wife as she gave birth to their child. And she's looking up at him as she's going through the child, but she says, you did this to me. And then once the child is born, she says, oh, this is wonderful. Let's do it again. You know, so it's a, I think, an attitude, a mentality that we adopt or choose based on, again, Jesus Christ. Because as we look at Christ and his ministry, you know, he's not saying, he does correct people, and he can be very harsh, especially when he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. So he's not going to suffer fools easily, but he's not there to trip us up and to show that even, and of course he had to suffer in one sense with these 12 people who really didn't quite understand him, but because it was based on love, and that's again what we're trying to model our lives after, the love of Jesus Christ, so that even toil that may seem difficult and harsh, if we keep putting on the mind of Christ, if we keep seeing not we're not alone in it, but Christ is actually accompanying us with it, and that we actually do, through our choices, have the ability to make of any kind of toil or work more meaningful than it might seem if this was just a dead end life, that when we die, that's it. But it's not. So that we have to keep putting suffering, work, temptations in the context of the big picture, which is of God's desire for us and what he did to back up that desire for us by sending his son to be our savior, so that we can see, oh, this is how you maneuver through it. This is how you do it. And not just get through it, but actually share in the salvific work of God. Because, as Paul says, we are now the body of Christ, and God is working through us so that we can actually participate in God's ongoing work of salvation, bringing it to other people, proclaiming it, serving others as faithful followers of Jesus Christ.
Well said, Father. And, you know, I was just, as you were talking about it, I was listening to what you're saying, and I kind of thought, you know, in one time of my life, I probably would have thought this is kind of cheesy, that, oh, it's what you do with your work, with the punishment that is going to, you know, something like mm-hmm, my dad mm-hmm. would have told me when I was young, like, make the best of your ground. If you're grounded, you know, make the best of it, you know, like, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. really, I mean, it's really not cheesy when you think of Mother Teresa. Or when you think of mm-hmm. St. Padre Pio, you know, yeah. then you see work, and it's hard to look at what she or he did without thinking that it has eternal consequences because of the effort and the love that was infused into them and into their works. So, I just thought of that as we were mm-hmm, talking, and mm-hmm. it seems like it's something that maybe we can, like you say, as we're supposed to take example of Christ, how Christ did it in the garden. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't easy to carry a cross up Calvary, right?
You know? No, it is not easy for us either. I mean, there's no way it's easy for us. But actually, as I said before, God is really doing the hard work. And so and that's why it's so essential that we have good Christian community around us. If I was doing this on my own, forget it. I mean, I can't do it alone. So we have to keep remembering, and that's what Mother Teresa remembered, and Padre Pio, and all the saints, that they're part of a bigger picture. It's just not me and God, but it's me, God, and everybody else. And what God wants is for us to keep coming together, working together, so that those sufferings that we can alleviate, we will work together to alleviate. So we look at the church. The church invented in many ways hospitals, hospices, hostels where people could stay on pilgrimage. So the church recognizes that the human being, frail as we are, does need to be protected and nurtured and nourished so that we're not adding to other people's suffering or making it more difficult to see the goodness of God, but rather we're making it more easy so that people can say, ah, why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing it because of God, because of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that's one of the ways in which we participate with Christ in his ongoing work in the world, to show people through our lives that there is another way of thinking and doing, and it's all based in Jesus Christ's life.
If anyone out there listening is wondering where they can read a little bit more about this topic, you can find this. Actually, the exact verses that were referenced by Linda are also referenced in the Catechism, and that's in paragraph 1609 of the Catechism. And that really talks about kind of what we're talking about. So if you want to dig in a little deeper into this topic, that's a good place to start. And it actually has some good footnotes in those paragraphs that will lead you to other good sources. So that's just something that if you wanted to dig in a little deeper onto that topic, there's a good way that you can get started on that. We did get another question, Father, in our, actually it was more of a statement in our survey that we sent out this morning. And by the way, if you would like your question read over the air and addressed by Father at any time, you can also participate in that survey by going to thestationofthecross.com and signing up by typing in your email at the top of the page. You'll start receiving our surveys in the mornings, and you can give your opinion on the topic of the show, and maybe yours will get read. You never know. So go ahead and participate with that. But anyway, Gregory in Toronto in Canada mentioned something. He kind of also is coming at this from a different angle, Father. He says, I do not believe the teaching of our church on original sin. Every soul is a gift of life from our Creator. No newborn is evil or corrupted by the sins of those before them. Our job in life is to share the God-given grace we each hold in our hearts with others, to make each moment the best it can be. We have corrupted God's message and the true meaning of life from heaven. Father, how would you respond to that?
Well, if it's true, what Gregory says, then where does evil come from? Because you can't have evil without good and the knowledge of what is evil. So, and we're not talking about God's creation being evil, any part of it. No, no. Again, go back to Genesis 1. God looked at it and saw that it was good. All of it, everything. We are God's good children, God's creation. So it's not a question of being evil. It's a question of doing evil. And that's a major difference. So as part of the human family, and again, we're not independent of other people. We are part of a community. And as Paul puts it so beautifully, when one part of the body hurts, all parts of the body hurt. And I think that's a good image of original sin, that we're all in it together and that we are affected by what our first parents did. And it's come right down. And again, all you have to do is look out in the world to see the evil that is there. And it's not because people are evil. Okay, so John, who has murdered 25 people, is an evil person. No, he is, for whatever reason, and there could be lots of different reasons and influences in his life, he has chosen to do something that is evil. And I think we can look at it this way, as I mentioned before, too, about like a volcano. Well, if a volcano erupts and it kills people, that is a bad thing. It's a tragedy. It's evil because some people's lives have been snuffed out. But the volcano doesn't have free will, so it didn't do it to kill human beings. A volcano is just being faithful in a sense. I don't mean that it's conscious, but it's doing what volcanoes do. If it weren't for volcanoes, we wouldn't have life on the planet because it shot up all this water. So it's the same with human beings, are different from human beings because we have the capability of doing what is evil. And as we know, and again, this is what original sin, if I hurt someone, I do something evil to them that is affecting them. They didn't have any choice in it. They were simply a victim of my evil, but they're affected by it. And so the same goes with original sin. We are all tainted in that sense because it's all part of the human condition. And we're all part of it. We're all creaturely in that sense. But we don't dwell on it because, again, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's taken that power which kept people in thrall to evil. He's destroyed it so that the gates of heaven are reopened and we have the possibility, the real free possibility of saying to God, yes, Lord, I come to do your will. I will be obedient. And in so doing, we're saying yes to what God wants for us ultimately, and that is to inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't think we think in those terms, but that's what a covenant is all about. If you do this, you will get that. And what does God say? If you are obedient to me, you will inherit everything, everything. And that's what we're told in Scripture. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also may be. He's talking about sitting at the right hand of the Father, where only a divine being can share in the life of God. So what Jesus is saying, you too are going to share in the divine life of God. I'm going to take your creaturely status and I'm going to divinize it, make it divine so that you can be with me for all eternity and enjoy participating in that perfect community of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if you put it in that context, that's what God created us for from the beginning, every single human being, then hopefully we'll want to say, yeah, that's what I want. But I do have the freedom to say no by doing what is evil, by disobeying the commandments, by hurting myself and harming other people, by stealing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I do have the real freedom to say yes eternally or no eternally to God.
If you are just joining us, this is the Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Elijah Simon here with Father Mike Mayer. You can stay up to date with the Catholic Current and all of the shows here at the Station of the Cross by liking us on Facebook at the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio or following us on Twitter at iCatholic Radio. When we come back, we will be continuing to take your questions, and I also want to give an example of a great saint who spent a lot of time in prayer contemplating on this topic of work and salvation. So stay right here on the Station of the Cross. The Liturgy of the Hours is prayed three times a day on the Station of the Cross at 5 a.m., 3 p.m., and 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The Liturgy of the Hours is a meditative and efficacious way to foster habitual prayer. It is the daily prayer of the Church, prayed throughout the world by priests, religious, and laity. For details about each hour and for more information about the Liturgy of the Hours, visit thestationofthecross.com.
Tune in weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time for Sermons for Everyday Living, a program that brings you real sermons from real priests on topics important to you and your faith. Visit thestationofthecross.com for details.
As iCatholic Radio celebrates its 8-year anniversary today, here at the Station of the Cross, we'd like to thank you for all of your prayers and financial support. Over the past 8 years, you've listened in the United States.
This is Juan Carlos from Oxnard, California.
This is Marianne from Nashville, Tennessee.
This is Gonzalo from Stuart, Florida.
And around the world.
This is Jerry from Dublin, Ireland.
This is Susie from Melbourne, Australia.
This is Mishka from Hong Kong, China.
We look forward to serving you and the rest of our world by the grace of God for many more years to come. May God bless you and your family in this new year of proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity through iCatholic Radio.
Tune in weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern for Sermons for Everyday Living. There's no better way to start your day than with spiritual formation from inspiring priests as they preach the gospel in the midst of your busy life. For details about upcoming episodes and for podcasts of past shows, visit thestationofthecross.com and click on Sermons for Everyday Living under the Programs tab. That's Sermons for Everyday Living, weekdays 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Catholic Current on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Elijah Simon here with Father Mike Mayer. And if you missed any portion of today's show or want to listen to any past episodes, go to the Catholic Current show page or click on the podcast tab on thestationofthecross.com. That's the show page, the Catholic Current show page, under the programs tab, or you can also click on podcast, which is underneath the programs tab as well. Now, Father, before we went to break, I mentioned that there was a specific saint that I wanted to use as an example of what it means to be working for our salvation, as we talked about. You mentioned that we can't earn our salvation, but there was one saint who spent an awful lot of time talking about how work can help us to attain our salvation, and that was Saint Benedict. He talked about how work can work against the effects of original sin and help us to heal our tendency toward evil. And one interesting quote from, he actually is obviously the founder of the Benedictines, and he wrote a rule for his fellow monks, basically the rules they're supposed to follow if they were going to be in the order. And in this rule, he talks about work, and he says, "When they live by the labor of their hands, as our fathers and the apostles did, then they are really monks. Yet all things are to be done with moderation on account of the faint-hearted." What do you make of that quote, Father?
Well, the importance of work, obviously, and Benedict also puts it bluntly, and we have that saying, idle hands are the devil's tools. Well, that's what Benedict says. He says, idleness is the enemy of the soul. So I think the motto that he has is ora et labora. Prayer and work. They have to go together. And it doesn't mean that they're two separate, because when you work, you can make your work a prayerful thing. But he's talking about the importance of being, again, as I said before, God's a creator. He's a worker. We have St. Joseph, the patron saint of workers. So he created, if he created us in our image and likeness, in one sense, we have been created to work, to be creative. And therefore, what Benedict tries to do is combine the best of both the prayerful structure and the work structure, the daily manual labor, which he wants the brothers to be part of. So they have a sense of being productive and creative. And when he talks about moderation for the faint-hearted, basically he's talking about, let's not be, how shall I put it, so radical that it's off-putting, so that people look, oh, I could never do that. That's just too much. But rather that it's something that a person can say, you know, I could grow into that. I could be a part of that. And as we know through the history of the Benedictine order and the reforms from the Benedictines to the Cistercians to the Trappists, etc., what they all tried to do was be more faithful to the rule of Benedict. And so in some cases, I'd say with Trappists, it's not really true today, but they didn't speak. They used sign language if they absolutely had to get something across. Now, I would look at that and I would say I'd be faint-hearted about that. I'm not sure I could quite be quiet like that. But what Benedict does is in a very healthy way, he wants to create a healthy environment, a community environment, where men and women can not only find the structure so that they can focus on prayer, but they also can labor. And of course, what they were doing in the monastery through their labor would be helping people around who lived around the monastery, sharing their food, sharing their medical abilities, so forth and so on. So the labor is not an end in itself, but it's rather thanking God for the ability to be a laborer, a worker, a creative person, and recognizing that the gifts that we have are to be used not only for our own livelihood, but also to share with others. So I think Benedict, in his role, was very, very healthy, very, very stable, in that he didn't want to make this break with the world that was going to totally separate the people in his monasteries, but rather help them to see more their abilities, their worthiness in the eyes of God through their labor and prayer, and in turn share that with other people. So the Benedictines were very much educators, and because of their work and copying scrolls, etc., that wasn't just to benefit themselves, but that also benefited the wider church, because it gave this literature and science and all these things to benefit everyone. So the work that they did was, let's say, sanctified, because within the context of this is our way of saying to God, thank you, Lord, for the skills that we have. We want to use them on your behalf, on the behalf of our brothers and sisters, so that we can build up the kingdom of God as you call us to build it up.
Well said, Father. And if you remember at the beginning of the show, Father, I talked a little bit about the concept of the soul being separated from the body because of sin, and how our goal here on earth is to keep our soul healthy with that strange, distant communication that is between the soul and the body ever since original sin. And I actually can't take too much credit for anything I said there at the beginning, because it was mostly straight out of John Paul II's Theology of the Body, for anyone out there who wants to look into that a little bit more. But, Father, we did have a question in our survey from Natalie, and she really talks about that concept and is a little bit confused about it. I thought it'd be a nice way to finish up as we're closing out here. She says, work is always for something. You work for money or benefits or to make your life better. Of course, we need to work for our salvation. The question I have is how temporal work can have eternal effects. If our bodies and souls are disconnected, how can work done on earth help the state of our soul? And Father, I'm leaving you about 2 minutes for this question. So,
well, again, I think it's only within the context of the saving work of Jesus Christ can we see how soul and body come together. that they're not, that through his death and resurrection, he's taken away, in a real sense, the disconnect between body and soul, so that the body is not just a weight that I want to get rid of, but rather God glorifies it. And he did that in glorifying Jesus' body. I mean, his resurrected body, the flesh, is there. It's somewhere in the eternal realm, as is the Blessed Mother's body. So the body is not simply dross. It's not garbage. No, God, through his saving death and resurrection, has really shown us that it is part of God's creation, God's plan, so that we're not going to be souls floating around there, but if we're faithful, our body's going to be resurrected to eternal life, and we'll participate in eternity. So we have to keep that in mind, and seeing things as Jesus saw them, and through the effects of his saving death and resurrection, so that what Adam and Eve did by sort of separating, or making, as Natalie says, a disconnect between body and soul, Jesus brings them back together and shows us how they work together, and they're part of God's original plan, that one wasn't a mistake or is evil simply because it's creaturely or fleshly, but rather, no, he from all eternity wanted body and soul, or enfleshed souls, to be the center of his creation. And we have to keep remembering that. It's Jesus Christ shows us how it's done, how God intended it to be, and all we have to do is follow in his footsteps.
Well, Father, we are almost out of time today. Would you please give us your final blessing?
May Almighty God bless us in our journeys, that we may know the goodness of creation, the goodness that the good thing that we are, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can look up the past episodes of The Catholic Current on thestationofthecross.com. Also, you can take the Station of the Cross with you wherever you go by downloading the iCatholic Radio mobile app. It's a free app with downloads throughout the world, and it's a great way to grow in your faith wherever you are. Just go to thestationofthecross.com, and you can download the iCatholic Radio app right there. And may we always remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life poured out for us in the sacramental life and magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church that he instituted. May each one of us open wide the doors to Christ. I'm Elijah Simon for the Station of the Cross. Thanks for being here, and have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. You can also donate right through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.